This is the Quality News Network. At the United Nations, China and Russia introduced their own resolution in response to North Korea's recent missile test. Theirs differs from the Japanese one, which calls for sanctions against North Korea. Also at the United Nations today, the world powers, including Russia and China, have agreed to send the Iranian nuclear issue to the Security Council. The body could impose sanctions on Tehran for its refusal to give a timely answer to an incentives package to halt its uranium enrichment program. In Mumbai, India, the death toll in yesterday's commuter train blast is now 200. 700 people were injured. So far, no group has stepped forward to claim responsibility for the 7 explosions in the financial capital. In southern Lebanon, Israeli airstrikes and military raids are underway after Hezbollah guerrillas captured 2 Israeli soldiers and killed 7. Israel's prime minister calls these attacks an act of war and blames the Lebanese government. Northeast of Baghdad today, 2 dozen Shiites were pulled from a crowded bus station by gunmen and 20 of them were killed. Yesterday alone, 50 people died in scattered violent attacks in Baghdad. Also in Iraq today, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld made an unannounced visit. He met with U.S. General George Casey. The U.S. ambassador says he believes that sectarian violence is now a larger threat than al-Qaeda. President Bush arrived in Europe, where he will meet with German Chancellor Angela Merkel in her hometown ahead of this weekend's G8 summit in Russia. In Washington, the Inspector General for the Homeland Security Department says that their database is too faulty to help divide federal funds accurately to cities and states. The list of vulnerable or critical U.S. resources includes more than 8,500 assets in Indiana alone, and also has Old McDonald's petting zoo in Huntsville, Alabama. In Mexico, supporters of the losing presidential candidate are heading to the capital for a mass rally on Sunday. They're demanding a recount of the ballots cast in the July 2nd election, in which the conservative candidate, Felipe Calderon, won by a slim margin. In Houston, a funeral for former Enron founder Kenneth Lay drew several high-profile mourners, such as former President George Herbert Walker Bush and his wife Barbara and former Secretary of State James Baker. In California's Yucca Valley, a wildfire has destroyed 30 buildings. Many of them had been used to film Hollywood westerns. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
In Washington, the Army announced it will open bidding for government contracting in Iraq and other areas where troops are stationed. Up until now, Halliburton had a controversial exclusive multi-million-dollar deal with the Pentagon to provide logistical support. On Capitol Hill, Republicans could vote within days on a plan to begin drilling for oil in the eastern Gulf of Mexico. Citgo Petroleum has issued a statement saying it will no longer sell gas to nearly 2,000 stations across the U.S. The Venezuelan company says it's losing money in those markets. The U.S. trade deficit widened in May because of increasing oil prices, according to the federal government. The trade gap is nearly $64 billion. A Chinese automaker plans to build a British car in Oklahoma. The U.S. assembly plant for the historic MG cars will employ 550 people. A new survey finds that if they chose to do so, one quarter of the U.S. workforce could work at home. That would save nearly $4 billion a year in gasoline. The survey revealed that 2% of U.S. workers do telecommute full-time, while 9% do so part-time. Forbes magazine lists the most overpriced places to live in the U.S. They include Essex County, Massachusetts, San Francisco, and San Jose. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $74.95 a barrel. And looking at Wall Street, the Dow is down 122 points, the Nasdaq down 39 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramoff.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, me strike.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and would expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're on the Bruce Birch Radio Program for another afternoon of interesting talk radio, conversation radio, if you will, conversation radio for the progressives, for the left, for those who have an inkling of what justice and peace and understanding and reconciliation and truth is all about. If you want to avail yourself of our entire package of online experience, you can do that by going to headonradionetwork.com. If you go to the homepage there at headonradionetwork.com, you can. There's all kinds of neat stuff there that you can check out. You can on the left-hand side is our menu. You can see our lineup. You can find out how to listen live, which you've already found out if you're listening to this. Our chat room is there. You can also go and see who supports us, as well as get to various archives and show pages, links of folks that are supporters of us and we support. And also, you'll see what's going on as far as, you know, what's with the rest of the network. So, go to headonradionetwork.com. Check it out. We also have our own very own News Ninja, who has a headlines page at headonradionetwork.com/headonheadlines. He posts there quite a bit with different stories and stuff you may not find, including some pretty fantastic some artwork that he finds out there on the internets. But today we're just going to do, as far as programming today, we're just going to do sort of a potpourri of different stories. The last couple of days we've played it really tight and close to the chest with some very intensive topics. You know, starting off the week there with the labor issue that I reported on and did a news piece on, and then yesterday talking about truth and reconciliation. You know. Those two were pretty intense shows. I mean, you had to really sort of follow along or pretty closely to know what was up with those entire two radio programs. And I like doing that. I like doing radio where I can, you know, really get into the meat of a topic and just, you know, and twist it and turn it and look at it and analyze it and have some conversations about it and that kind of thing. Just because from my perspective, understanding something. I love learning. I love getting into the meat of stuff and finding out what it's all about and trying to discover how it relates to the world and how it relates to me. Now, we did that last couple of days. Today we're going to do, we're going to cover probably, who knows, maybe a dozen stories. I don't know, maybe three dozen. I don't know. We'll get there. The first one, though, that I wanted to talk about is It looks like there's going to be a okay. We'll go to that one later. Let me go to a different story to start with. The U.S. Senate today decided that, or yesterday, late last night, decided that it has voted to abolish the Federal Emergency Management Agency and replace it with a retooled new agency. The provision was part of an amendment to a domestic security budget bill and calls for replacing FEMA with the Emergency Management Authority to respond to domestic disasters. The measure passed 87-11. 7-11. Interesting. 87-11 Tuesday night. As with FEMA, the new agency would remain under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security, or Homeland Insecurity, whichever you prefer. The bill's co-sponsors were Senators Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, and Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, and they both said that the agency's performance after Hurricane Katrina last year was such a national embarrassment that there was no option but to replace it with an agency that had new powers and a new name. Now, you know something that bothers me about this is that, first of all, the biggest reason wasn't that FEMA reacted badly. It was that they had a complete moron at the helm of FEMA, Michael Brown. Remember him? Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Doing a heck of a job, Brownie. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Okay, he did a heck of a job. He did such a smashing job at the Arabian Horse Owners Association that they fired him. And so, as happens with the Bush administration, when they lose a job, when somebody loses a very high-profile, do-nothing job, they apply for a job in government with the Bush administration. So Michael Brown came to work for the Bush administration and the Federal Emergency Management Agency and pretty much did what he was supposed to do, which was botch it all to pieces. So... And as a result, over 1,000 around 4,000 people died in Hurricane Katrina, somewhere in that neighborhood. I'm checking with my producer. Maybe he'll spot me a number there. But I think it was around 4,000 people died, and you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, were homeless as a result. Many of whom will never go back to New Orleans. You know, primarily because there's a couple, 4,000 is the best guess, my producer's telling me. Yeah, that's what I figured. They're down there in New Orleans, you know, those who had vehicles and had the means to get out were gotten out. And those that didn't have the means to get out, in other words, didn't have a vehicle or didn't have money to pay for gas or, you know, they didn't have a way out, you know. Kind of funny how a caravan of buses made it in there the day after the hurricane, about four to five days before. When you got a Category 5 storm churning in the ocean about 200 miles south of, you know, it blows my mind. And then Rita came in right behind that one. But anyway, point being is that, because of this, the Congress has decided to abolish. This is perfect. This is perfect, perfect stuff for the Bush administration. Create a problem because of mismanagement, and then claim that it was some ambiguous agency's fault rather than the direct fault of one of the people that it appointed to do the job. Blows my mind, but that's what happened, folks. Don't believe the hype. You know, these senators and these congressmen are, you know, they want to tell you, well, it was all FEMA. FEMA just reacted badly. No, it was the people. Okay, the government itself is made up of people. The government, if the people left tomorrow, would be empty buildings. It's the people in the government that make the decisions. It's the people in the government that create the situations that happen, such as what happened with Michael Brown. And Chertoff, Dragon Slayer Chertoff. You know, the bottom line is that in this kind of situation. Now, I know that a lot of folks have a lot of issues about FEMA, and I know that they have. There's some sort of conspiracy theory going around about them being the shadow government or something. I forget what it was. I've read. There's so many conspiracy theories out there. It's hard to keep them all straight. I think it was the Masons with the Kool-Aid guy, the guy who crashes through walls. I think it was the Masons with the Kool-Aid guy who were going to run the government if FEMA. Anyway, you know, and you know, so what we look for here. Anyway, what we're looking at here is a problem with the people who are running these agencies. And you can abolish the agency, but I guarantee you, guess what? The people who are in the agency are going to be going to the new agency. So what's changed? What's different? Do I see anything different? I don't see anything different. Do you see anything differently, listeners? Well, maybe you do. If so, why don't you give me a ring? Telephone number is 1-877-443-2366 to get into the head-on studios in wild, wonderful West Virginia. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. That'll get right into my email box where it'll go beep and tell me that it's there. We can send me emails, whatever. I'll read them on the air if it's relevant to the discussion. And above all, remember, this is Conversation Radio. Radio for you and me. I'll be right back.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart. Yes, closer to the heart.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable. And I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The tenant in apartment A is brushing with Brand X toothpaste, which is designed to better help whiten teeth and remove tartar buildup, while the tenant in apartment B is brushing with Gamma Fresh. Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste, now with radioactive mutagen. It's the only toothpaste designed to turn you into a giant gelatinous blob with powerful laser beam vision. 4 out of 5 mad scientists agree you'll be an unstoppable killing machine with healthier teeth and gums if you use Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste.
Oh my God, it's destroying the city!
Looks like someone's been brushing with Gamma Fresh. Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste, another fine product of Scumco.
We'll be right back.
You're back on radio for the free America, folks. That's you and me. And this is Bruce Burch. You're back on the Bruce Burch radio program being brought to you by the Head On Radio Network here on a very scorching, hotter than the hinges of hell afternoon in North Carolina. Let me tell you, buddy, it is hot out there. How hot is it? Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you ever watched the Match Game, but there was always a joke on there. Anyway, I just wanted to compliment my producer on that last commercial. I think I'm going to go rush right out and get some Gamma Paste from Scum Co. myself. This sounds like the product of the day. But do, if you're interested in helping to support Head On Radio Network and you need some T-shirts or some tennis shoes or some jeans or whatever, head on over. First, come to our website, headonradionetwork.com. Click on the No Sweat banner. That'll shoot you right to their website where you will find the finest in union-made apparel that it's clothes with a conscience, folks. Clothes with a conscience. Now, we're going to go straight over to the phones. If you want to get in on our radio conversation today, you can do that by dialing 1-877-443-2366. We're open topic. Whatever you want to talk about. I started out with FEMA. We can end up with something else completely. It's up to you. Let's head over to our good friend Jim. Jim is joining us today from an undisclosed location somewhere on the planet Earth. Jim, how are you doing today?
Good evening. How are you? I'm reasonable.
Good. I'm doing quite well now that I'm inside in the air conditioning. My God, it's hot out there.
It's kind of warm down there. You could go further south into South Carolina. You really get some interesting times down there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, that previous PSA kind of went over my head, but who uses that stuff? SS Doom Troopers?
That's a good question.
I'm not sure I understand where that toothpaste is going to be used, and that's kind of like Dentonite toothpaste in the James Bond movies. It will blow up when you put it in your mouth, but that's okay. That's not the reason I called. I called about FEMA. And, you know, this guy who was the director of FEMA during Katrina, who had apparently had a failed career with Arabian horse, whatever he did with them. I don't know what he did with them, a trainer.
Right, right.
But, you know, what you have, Bruce, is this, in these top-level positions, these are Schedule C appointments, okay? They're passage jobs. And all these people serve at the pleasure of the president, okay? And once he says, tells you to hit the road, you hit the road. You have no career status whatsoever. And they're not to be confused with the career civil service people, okay? The Schedule A people.
Okay.
And so that's one thing you got to remember. The Schedule C people, the ones who Bush appoints, these are tenants. The other people are residents. And speaking to you as a former resident, as a career employee, you know, you get a lot of crap from some of these people who come in there who don't know what they're doing, and they're just using this as some sort of transition period to go from a government job given to them for services rendered to the commander in grief while he's trying to get his position until they can get to some cushy job over on K Street. And they leave the rest of the rank and file of the civil service to take the heat for what, you know, really isn't their fault. And, you know, as far as reorganizing FEMA, they can reorganize FEMA until the cows come home. But for some of the potential disasters that could face this country, I mean, you're talking about New Orleans during Katrina, okay?
Okay.
Now, we've got this thing over in the Canary Islands that could produce a tsunami. That's 100 meters tall, and it would take 8 hours to get here, and it would inundate the entire eastern seaboard, okay? I mean, what organization could even prepare to withstand that? Could you imagine New York and the megalopolis around Washington and those entire areas of the country in excess of the highways trying to escape a wall of water over 300 feet tall? You know, could you imagine, there'd be nothing we could do, really. You know what I'm saying?
No, there isn't, but, there isn't anything we could do once it's hit, but there's a lot we can do to prepare.
Well, in 8 hours? Could you imagine how many people they could get out of New York City in 8 hours with the traffic jams, or D.C.? if the entire area of that country were in exodus on the highway.
So why bother having a federal emergency management agency at all?
I wonder sometimes. I really do. I mean, I wonder sometimes because, I mean, the nature of the cataclysm that our scientists have predicted to say not if, but just when. It seems as though, I guess, the inherent thing is that maybe Banff is just built too closely to the coastline and too closely to certain areas that are prone to disasters. I don't know. We have a tendency to do that. And then we, like, for example, when New Orleans got hit. I mean, New Orleans had dodged so many bullets for so many years. I mean, every hurricane season I was thinking, what if this is going to hit New Orleans? And sure enough, one did. And it really showed how ready we really were. And if anything, New Orleans should be a lesson to us and, you know, what we could do. And they need to prepare if best they can, as you said, if we were to have this volcano in the Azores collapse and produce this tsunami. There needs to be something in place for that. Do you think there's anything in place for that now? I don't think so. And as far as this homeland...
I'll bet there have been some conversations about it.
That's about all. And people say, well, let's just hope it doesn't happen. And let's just hope we'll dodge that bullet. But, I mean, you know, as I watch, you know, things that are being said by scientists about some of these things that are happening in the world, our planet is in such a state of flux, and there's so much volcanic and seismic activity. I mean, you know, it's just incredible what could happen. I mean, you know, we could very well see the Great Lakes being joined into the Gulf of Mexico. And these are things that geophysicists and seismologists have been telling us about for years. And I don't know if there's really anything you could plan. I mean, we just dodged an asteroid that was a half mile wide that came within the surface of the proximity of this planet as close as the moon. And, you know, they're trying different tricks to try to divert the courses of asteroids and things of that nature. I mean, it's just a wonder what has slammed into us before. We've been very lucky, as they have before. But, I mean, you know, you just wonder exactly what's going on here. It gives me cause for thought. Since this conversation radio, this is, I guess, a conversation of futility on my part towards you. Not towards you personally, but I mean, you know, sometimes I guess with you, the situation, this is just between you and me, Bruce.
Uh-huh.
The situation with you is serious, but not hopeless. With me, it's hopeless, but not serious.
Ah.
You asked for a quote the other night. I wish I could have given you that one.
Well, you know, do you think that's just sort of a basic difference in our outlooks or what?
It's one that comes with age.
Oh, okay.
You know, you become more resolute, more resigned to the inexorable will of fate. That sort of thing. You really do.
Okay.
I mean, the more stuff you see happen, and the more disappointment you sustain, and the more hopes that you see hopelessly abandoned, you sort of get to the point that you just, well... Here's something else that's happened, and we weren't prepared for it, or here's some other hope that was dashed upon the rocks of indecision or just outright indifference and things of that nature. You know, it gives you a bad taste in your mouth about life on this planet as it is, you know?
Well, I mean, I guess it could. I mean, I don't know if that's even related to age so much as it is just sort of like an outlook that people have.
You have survivalists and you have desolationists. And I think as you grow older, in many cases, you become more of a desolationist than a survivalist. You know, those times.
Desolationist meaning more fatalistic.
Those were terms that were used during the Cold War, okay? You have the survivalists who believe that a nuclear war could be livable and sustainable, or live throughable and sustainable. And the desolationists said, there's only one place I want to be when the first one hits, and that's at the Ground Zero hot dog stand in the middle of the Pentagon courtyard. You follow me?
Yeah, yeah. I got to take a quick break, Jim. I tell you what, hang on the line. We'll come back and we'll have a little longer conversation about this, okay? You're listening to the Bruce Burch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network. It's about 30 minutes before the hour, and if you want to avail yourself of free speech, please dial 1-877-443-2366. Right after this, I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. It's getting chilly in academia, but at least some people are standing up to the cold gust. Kevin Barrett is an occasional instructor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Barrett believes 9/11 was an inside job, and I think he's way off, but that's not the point. The point is whether he's entitled to that opinion, which he even discusses in class when it's relevant to his coursework. He says he's careful to give both sides and that he doesn't pressure his students to agree with him. Last week, a right-wing Milwaukee radio show invited Barrett on, and the host tried haplessly to corner him. Barrett stayed cool and made his arguments. Well, within a matter of hours, one Republican state legislator called for him to be summarily fired. The Republican candidate for governor echoed that, and the current Democratic governor also questioned Barrett's fitness to teach. Fortunately, the provost at the University of Wisconsin defended Barrett's free speech rights and academic freedom rights. Said Provost Patrick Farrell, "We cannot allow political pressure from critics of unpopular ideas to inhibit the free exchange of ideas." That's refreshing for a change, a stand on principle. In the face of the powerful and of the herd, we need more of that. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're back on the Bruce Burch radio program, free speech radio for those who care. I we were talking a little bit before we went to the break about FEMA and I guess we sort of got off into more of a philosophy attack there. Jim, you still with me?
Still here, 5 by 5.
5 by 5. Okay. Well, I want to sort of steer it back to FEMA a little bit, and you were saying something about the career employees. You know, you would you lay the devastating reaction or the lack of reaction by FEMA at the feet of Michael Brown singly, or what would you do with what happened in New Orleans?
Definitely, because, you know, the head of the agency sets the tone of the agency, and he is the one who, of course, gives the marching orders, and these people do what they have to do. But, I mean, FEMA has been degraded. Its assets have been degraded over the years. I mean, it's just become a shell of an organization itself, so he really didn't inherit that much to begin with, to tell you the truth. And they have, you know, they have subtracted a lot of personnel, money, manpower, resources for other things. And we've, you know, unfortunately spent too much of our blood and treasure in other places of the world where it has no needs being spent, and have left our own shores basically lacking in a, you know, a coherent defense. I think that's what, and it's not the fault of the federal employee, because basically they're the ones who are riffed, and that's the reduction in force. And they have fewer what they call FTEs, or full-time equivalent positions, to man these positions and provide the continuity. You see, Bruce, the career employee provides the continuity, and that's the important part. These guys are just hotshots who are there every 4 years, and then they leave and do something else.
Right. Well, the reason why I was asking you that is because I find it to be an interesting thing that we have it's a non-agency at this point, because you know, the Senate voted to completely disband it and create something else in its place called the Federal Management Authority.
Yeah, I heard.
Or Emergency Management Authority. Any, you know, regardless, you know, what when all this went down back in August of last year.
Right.
One of the things that I have posited since then, actually I think I even posited it on my other show that I was doing at the time, that this was a springboard, if you will, for government privatization, that this was a sort of one of those things that the government could point to and say, look, government-managed disaster relief doesn't work, so therefore we need to turn to private concerns.
Well, they're
to,
using Walmart system of distribution and Walmart facilities to get the people and stuff like that. I've heard that. And then other private agencies to do that. And, you know, yeah, you're right. It is a privatization effort and an attempt, and that's what they're going to try to do, I believe.
Well, and that's just it. As I really do, looking at the situation and looking at what happened, I think that part of that whole Walmart scheme was, I mean, you know, they picked up the phone. The ice was there the next day. So, I mean, it had to have been, as the hurricane was hitting New Orleans, there had to have been some forethought about using Walmart, wouldn't you think?
Well, I don't know. Walmart is known for its ability to move pretty quickly. You know how they can move into a town. And I guess they have a pretty fast distribution system, much faster than that of the federal government. And, you know, sometimes I can see the virtue of using agencies like that as a contractor. You know, it's in a contract situation to pull the oxen out of the ditch, if you see what I'm saying. In other words, if they can get the ice and the materials there, and if they could get the mobile homes or whoever would be in charge of that, if they could find somebody that would be more efficient than FEMA, so they could get shelter for people who need it, then to me that's all the good. But I mean, they still got mobile homes that were where they were almost a year ago, don't they? They haven't been able to move them out in Arkansas somewhere.
Yeah, and you know, but see, the point, I guess the point that I'm trying to make though is that if FEMA wanted to be more efficient, it could be. I don't doubt for one second that you know, or let's just put it this way. It looks very convenient that FEMA was terribly efficient and Walmart was terribly inefficient or inefficient, and Walmart was terribly efficient. It just looks to be too neat and tidy.
Well, FEMA is a very well. Have you ever looked at the TONE and the actual organization of FEMA?
The recent organization is I mean, it's like it's deplorable where they've placed it. Well, or before they disbanded it was deplorable where it was placed. When it was a cabinet level position under Bill Clinton, I remember FEMA being a very efficient body.
Well, at one time it used to be, but like I say, over the years, its assets have been degraded. That's what I was talking about earlier in our conversation. And its assets have been degraded to the point that it's just a former shell of itself. And as career employees retire, they're not being replaced. They're simply, their functions are being absorbed by another employee who will retire. And then, of course, that's given to somebody else who's still, before they retire or before they decide to leave, before they've had, in many cases, a lot of them just say, look, I can't do this job and leave.
And you know that the Senate also voted to, let me just look at this here real quick. The Senate also voted to create, to have FEMA be reestablished as an independent agency with a cabinet level position. It was voted down 66-32. So it's going to go to wherever it's going to go, I guess, and be what it's going to be. I think this is not the right time of the year to start tinkering with the emergency management response from the federal government, though. You know, I can think of a better time of the year to do that. But
well, yeah, I mean, hurricane season started how long ago?
First or second week of June, I believe.
And so, I think we're supposed to have how many Category 4 storms this time? 5%?
I'm not. 5 or 6, probably. Yeah. I haven't even checked with my good friend Max Enfield down there in Florida.
Well, we're waiting to see.
Mayfield, that's it, Mayfield.
Like I say, you know, if that's what the Senate has decided to do, then that's what they decided to do. So what can you do? But just wring your hands and say, well, what really do we have to protect us? And how quickly could it bring us aid if we were in a position?
And that's what bothers me, though, because I know that they were a better agency than that.
Yeah, they were.
At one point.
I can remember
And that proves that it could be done again. I guess that's just the thing. You know, yes, we are, you know, the federal government under George Bush has pretty much told us to not expect any help. I mean, that's basically the example there. It was like, you know what? Guess what? You're on your own.
You know, Bruce, this started back when Ronald Reagan took power. And, you know, when his new federalism and all this other stuff, and it went downhill when Reagan had originally targeted 600,000 federal jobs for elimination, and he wanted to give these jobs to his buddies in the private sector and stuff like this. And then, you know, it kind of slowed down a little bit with Bush 1. And then when President Clinton came in, you had the reinventing of government. He and Al Gore got together, and they wanted to see how many people they could really knock out. And, you know, one of the targets of the reinvention of government thing under Gore and Clinton was to eliminate the Corps of Engineers.
Huh.
It was. I've got the actual book that they published, and they wanted to eliminate the Corps of Engineers. And I thought to myself, who in the heck is going to man the levees, and who's going to take care of the inland waterways and things of that nature? But that was
that
wanted to get rid of. And we're talking about Clinton Gore. And so
that sounds to be that would have been a wrong move for sure.
Well,
Clinton made a number of wrong moves as far as I'm concerned.
Sure did.
NAFTA was one of them.
Huh? NAFTA, Shafta, as we call them, right?
Right, the Shaftas, yes.
The Shaftas.
Coming soon to a theater near you, the Shaftas.
That's right. And listen, like I tell you, as Bob Kincaid always tells his children, keep this property. One day it may be beachfront waterfront.
I hear you. Well, if where he is would be beachfront property, where I would be, I think, probably a good dolphin fishing ground.
Think so?
So
well,
I'd be underwater.
Well, I think it probably was through the Precambrian era. I know at least up to South Carolina, up to about Columbia it was all underwater. But I don't know. These problems sometimes just get so hefty and so weighty that the mind just reels. And sometimes you just have to sit back and say, oh,
the mind reels, and we've only got 10-pound test. You know what I'm saying?
10-pound test. You must be a fisherman.
I'm not a fisherman, but it seemed to sound good, so I figured I'd go ahead and say it.
Okay. All right.
Jim, thanks for calling, my friend. We got to take our quarter hour break, but it's good to have you back on the program. And that was our good friend Jim from up in West, by golly, Virginia. And, you know, of course, I'm not going to say where. Not going to say where, but somewhere up there. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Free America. You can avail yourself of your free speed rights, and we'll pick up the dime. It's 1-877-443-2366 is the number. Bruce at BruceBirch.com is the email. Head On Radio Network is a network. I'll be right back.
Beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is Deer. You're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what'd you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so...
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service's State Forester, and the Ag Council.
You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program here on the Head On Radio Network, where the truth is reigns supreme, and the right wing is well, they're full of crap, or something, full of other stuff, something like that. Anyway, just wanted to get back on it. You know, we were talking about FEMA a little bit, but we're going to go ahead and let that go and shoot into another topic because you know, that's happened. It's voted. Now we get to see the fallout from that decision. You know, also today, I just wanted to bring this to your attention. The Israelis have invaded Lebanon. Israeli tanks and troops today invaded southern Lebanon after Hezbollah captured two soldiers and killed several others. The Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, I always want to say that like it's French, described the capture of the soldiers as an act of war by Lebanon, with today's developments compounding the ongoing political crisis over an abducted Israeli soldier being held in Gaza. Palestinian militants holding Corporal Gilad Shalit, have demanded that all Palestinian women and young people held in Israeli jails be freed in exchange for his release. Several soldiers were killed in fighting after Mr. Olmert ordered his forces into Lebanon in an attempt to rescue the abducted soldiers. He says, quote, "These are difficult days for the state of Israel and its citizens. There are people who are trying to test our resolve. They will fail and they will pay a heavy price for their actions." Now, I wonder if the people who were who have to pay a heavy price for their actions happened to be the family of nine that were killed after a 550-pound bomb was dropped on their house in a residential area of Gaza City today. Nabil Abu Salmiya, a lecturer at the Islamic University who has been described by Israel as a Hamas activist, was killed along with his wife and their five daughters and two sons. Five of the dead children were aged between 4 and 11. I'm almost speechless here. It hurts behind my eyes to read this. It hurts behind my eyes. The killing and the death that goes on in that part of the world, oh my God, it blows me away. It just makes me, ugh. The deaths, apparently, according to this article, will be a severe embarrassment to Israel, which has killed around 40 civilians, many of them children, in missile and shell attacks over the recent weeks. Witnesses said the only members of the family to survive were two sons, one thrown clear of the house by the explosion and another rescued from the rubble, and the eldest daughter, who was married and lived elsewhere. There's a saying that comes to mind: we are creating terrorists faster than we can kill them. Five children aged between 4 and 11. Was it worth it? Is what I want to know. Do you feel better now, Mr. Olmert? Can't catch this guy out on the street and just go ahead and assassinate him, which is, you know, perhaps if you're going to kill somebody, that's probably the neatest and cleanest way to do it. No, you had to kill all of his family, too. Well, you know, that's just completely repugnant in my mind. Completely repugnant. Sadullah Zant, 31, a relative and neighbor, said he had been asleep on his balcony when he heard two explosions within seconds of each other. He's quoted as saying, quote, "My building moved up and down and I heard crashing and screaming. I ran out and I saw people emerging from the building covered in blood and dust. People were screaming and you could still hear the jets overhead." Witnesses said the second explosion came when a missile was fired from a helicopter at a car fleeing the area, suggesting that the men being targeted by Israel had already left the house when the bomb struck. Israeli sources said they had been trying to kill Mohammed Dieff, who had met other commanders of the Hamas military wing in the house. A former leader of the Hamas military wing, he has been injured in three previous assassination attempts, although he has been replaced as leader by Ahmed Jahabri, he remains an influential figure. A Hamas spokesman gave this in a message to the AP. We deny the allegations that Commander Mohammed Deif was wounded, and we confirm that he and his colleagues have survived. I don't know what to say. Scores of tanks and armored personnel carriers took up positions around Deir al-Bala and Khan Yunis in central Gaza, blocking movement between the two halves of the strip. Israeli troops killed at least 12 Palestinian human beings, including one policeman and two militants, supposedly. In four separate incidents in the central Gaza Strip, Palestinian medical officials said Mr. Olmert has been pursuing a drawn-out strategy to win the release of Corporal Shalit, who is being held by Hamas's military wing and other groups, and to end Palestinian rocket attacks. A rocket attack. Okay, let's look at this. Just one second. I just want to stop. Here's what I want you to do. If you're in a place where you can pick up a dime. All right, pick up a dime. All right, hold that in your hand now. Maybe a pen or something else that's quite a bit heavier in your other hand. Okay, look at the dime. That's a rocket attack. Look at the other hand where you have that heavy object. That's a 550-pound bomb. Do you think there's an equal response there? I don't think so. Mr. Olmert has initiated a series of assaults on the Gaza Strip. He's put Gaza's 1.4 million residents under pressure with the destruction of the only power station and other infrastructure, and arrested members of the Hamas-controlled Palestinian government and members of parliament. And the killing goes on and on and on. And five children, ages 4 to 11, five children. They had no dog in this fight. They had no quarter with any of these people, but they paid the ultimate price. You know? They paid the ultimate price. Sectarian violence, huh? There's more killing that goes on in that one little strip of the world probably than in Iraq the whole last year that it was outside of our control. You know? And it's damn sad. It's damn sad that people find it necessary to kill children to feel better about themselves. I certainly hope that at some point, you know, we can wake up and realize that we need to depend on each other. You know? You're listening to the Bruce Burch Radio program right here on the Head On Radio Network. The telephone number to get in on the show after the news is 1-877-443-2366. Email is bruce@brucebirch.com, and I'll talk to you here in just a few minutes.
This is the Quality News Network. In southern Lebanon, Israeli airstrikes and military raids are underway after Hezbollah guerrillas captured two Israeli soldiers and killed eight. Israel's prime minister called these attacks an act of war. He called a special session of his cabinet to discuss further military response. Northeast of Baghdad today, two dozen Shiites were pulled from a crowded bus station by gunmen and 20 of them were killed. In the capital, an explosion at a restaurant left at least seven people dead. The prime minister cautioned that the increase in sectarian violence was threatening the future of the country, adding that Iraqis had one last chance for peace. Also in Iraq today, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld made an unannounced visit. He met with U.S. General George Casey. In Mumbai, India, the death toll from yesterday's commuter train blast now stands at 200. 700 people were injured. CNN reports that timers hidden in pencils were found at three of the seven bomb sites. One of the most powerful military explosives was reportedly used to make the bombs. At the United Nations, China and Russia introduced their own resolution in response to North Korea's recent missile test. Theirs differs from the Japanese one, which calls for sanctions against North Korea. Also at the United Nations today, the world powers, including Russia and China, have agreed to send the Iranian nuclear issue to the Security Council. The body could impose sanctions on Tehran for its refusal to give a timely answer to an incentives package to halt its uranium enrichment program. President Bush arrived in Europe, where he will meet with the German chancellor in her hometown ahead of this weekend's G8 summit in Russia. In Washington, the Inspector General for the Homeland Security Department says that their database is too faulty to help divide federal funds accurately to cities and states. In Washington, the Army announced it will open bidding for government contracting in Iraq and other areas where the military has troops stationed. Up until now, Halliburton had a controversial exclusive multi-million-dollar deal with the Pentagon to provide logistical support. In Houston, a funeral for former Enron founder Kenneth Lay drew several high-profile mourners, including former President George Herbert Walker Bush. On Capitol Hill, Republicans could vote within days on a plan to begin drilling for oil in the eastern Gulf of Mexico. And in Mexico, supporters of the losing presidential candidate are planning a mass rally on Sunday. You're listening to QNN.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The U.S. trade deficit widened in May because of increasing oil prices, according to the federal government. The trade gap is nearly $64 billion. A new survey finds that if they chose to do so, one quarter of the U.S. workforce could work at home. That's expected to save nearly $4 billion a year in gasoline. USA Today reports that cyber criminals are targeting popular software such as iTunes or RealPlayer. The crooks are looking for vulnerabilities so they can steal customer information. Microsoft was fined $357 million by the European Union today, and the software giant faces even more penalties, though it plans to appeal. The EU says that Microsoft failed to obey a 2004 antitrust order requiring it to share its technical information with rivals. Russia's military launched an inflatable spacecraft that could be the forerunner of hotels in space. Two Space Shuttle Discovery astronauts took part in the third and final spacewalk today. They used putty for some practice repairs, and a Chinese automaker plans to build the British car MG at a plant in Oklahoma. Light sweet crude settled at $74.95 a barrel today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 122 points, the Nasdaq was down 39 points, the S&P 500 was down 14 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for Free America. It's about 7 minutes past the hour here on Head On Radio Network, and I love that music. It just gets me all wound up, and my announcer too. You know, I come out with my gloves on, you know, ready to take on the world or whatever is in front of me. I was talking about the Israeli violence, and it sounded like on the news that we've got. But they're still preparing to do some more evil violence over there, and it'll be they'll do something, and then there'll be a response, and then they'll do something, and it'll be a response. They've never really had peace there, and you know what? They're going to go on killing each other, and apparently they're having they're birthing enough babies to continue the violence on both sides of the coin. So apparently the replenishment of bodies seems to be holding at a reasonable pace. It's very difficult. I read about stories like that, the five kids getting killed, and it just I look at the innocent children, right? Innocent children. The Bush administration is preparing a crackdown on intelligence leaks to the media and will try to pursue prosecutions in some recent cases. This is according to the chairman of the House of Representatives Intelligence Committee, Representative Peter Hoekstra. He has also suggested that some unauthorized leaks could have been deliberate attempts to help Al-Qaeda. Oh, my God. Deliberate attempts by the CIA leaking to the media to help Al-Qaeda. He says, quote, "More frequently than what we would like, we find out that the intelligence community has been penetrated, not necessarily by Al-Qaeda, but by other nations or organizations." He quickly added, "I don't have any evidence." but from my perspective, when you have information that is leaked that is clearly helpful to the enemy, you cannot discount that possibility. Okay. Oh, God. Oh, okay, let's do a little game of 1 plus 2 equals 10, shall we? Let's see. George Bush... That's right, the resident, was friends with Salem bin Laden, a business partner with him, who is Osama bin Laden's brother. Therefore, George Bush and Osama bin Laden are friends. He says, "I don't have any evidence." Well, then shut your mouth, man. You don't have any evidence. Shut your mouth, okay? All right. In recent months, two major intelligence operations were leaked to the media. The National Security Agency's domestic surveillance program, illegal domestic surveillance program, and the Treasury Department's tracking of international banking transactions. Hoekstra said in a speech to the Heritage Foundation, boy, that's an easy crowd for him, he said, quote, "There will be a renewed effort by the Justice Department in a couple of these cases to go through the entire process so that they can prosecute," end quote. And Justice Department officials were not immediately available for comment. Hoekstra also said that the newly installed CIA director, Michael Hayden, was conducting aggressive internal investigations against leakers. Well, I bet you the working atmosphere in the CIA right now, I bet it's, I just bet they're having a great time there going to work every day. You walk through the door, and it's like, you walk through the door, and they're like, all right, let's look through your bags. You know, I bet they, it's just a culture of fear with these people. CIA spokeswoman Jennifer Miller-Wise Dyke? Declined to comment on investigations, but also said Hayden believes greater communication within the agency could eliminate staff frustrations that lead to leaks. Staff frustrations that lead to leaks. I'm frustrated with my workload, so therefore I'm going to tell the media about an illegal program. Oh my goodness! I can hear Mr. Hayden now. I don't understand why anybody would want to tell anybody about our illegal programs. I mean, you know, I don't understand that. I mean, it's our illegal program, and I don't understand why anybody. Maybe somebody had some principles, Mr. Hayden. Perhaps, I don't know. Hoekstra, who is a staunch ally of George W. Bush on most intelligence issues, broke with the president in May when he sent the White House an angry letter complaining that his committee had been kept in the dark about still other secret programs until whistleblowers in the Intelligence Committee told him about them. In his letter to Bush, Hoekstra said that the U.S. Congress, quote, simply should not have to play 20 questions to get the information that it deserves under our Constitution. Okay, yeah, there's another part of that too, Mr. Hoekstra. It's called being the check and balance. It's not just, you are not an intelligence, gathering body there in the Congress. You are an oversight body, which means that if someone's doing these programs that are illegal, it's your job to make them stop. Angry letter complaining that his committee had been kept in the dark. Give me a break. Angry letter. He did that. Posturing. Yeah. Why don't you go over there and hang out with Arlen Specter, posturer? God. He sent an angry letter. Oh, God. All right. At any rate, this Republican is saying that the U.S. is about to do some crackdown on the leaks to the media. I, for one, think that a whistleblower in that level of government with regard to programs that are directly against our Constitution and our Bill of Rights is a patriot. I, for one, think that if the government is so scared of not getting the right to do something, I really feel like this is one of those situations where you beg forgiveness instead of asking permission. That's what they're doing. They're begging for forgiveness instead of, except for these guys aren't even begging forgiveness. They're just saying, you know what? Yeah, we did it. What are you going to do about it? We got a Republican Congress. They're not going to do anything to us, and they're thumbing their nose at the rest of us. Those of us, you and I, who work hard to keep this country afloat with our tax dollars, while they take it and use it in spying exercises to listen into our phone calls and tap our emails. Great use of taxpayer dollars. Oh yeah, and Homeland Security money is going to insect museums and such and so forth as that. It blows my mind. Again, blows my mind. Now, an interesting thing today. You know what? Before we do that, let's go ahead and take our quarter hour break. I really wanted to bring this to your attention, though. Again, if you're interested in buying some clothing that I'm going to plug them again because I think it's really important. If you're interested in buying clothing that is union made and clothing with a conscience, come to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click on the No Sweat Shop banner. That'll take you right to their shop where you can buy some decent clothes at a decent conscience price. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program here on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back. Tax the rich, feed the poor, tell around old rich no more.
Guy James means straight talk and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Hey, yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about big oil. that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Pallas, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Are rising fuel prices keeping you at home? Then here's some good news from the IRS. First, your purchase of a new hybrid or electric vehicle entitles you to a tax deduction that could amount to several thousand dollars. And you don't have to itemize to get this tax break. Second, if you're claiming the standard mileage rate for business travel in 2005, remember to figure in the 8 cent per mile increase for the last 4 months of the year. For more news on tax deductions, visit IRS.gov.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to NAJA.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, Happy Birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'd be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn the CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
In the markets, I've seen you in the streets and at your political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I've just got one question and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb?
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. That song is by a good friend of ours, David Rovics. You can go to davidrovics.com and check that out if you're interested. All right. Now, let's get back into some of the stories here. When I left over the break, I was talking about that whole thing with the U.S. going after the media. Now, in another pronged attack of government upon media, the FCC now is going to be combing live air tapes for profanity. The FCC has requested, apparently, numerous tapes from broadcasters that might include vulgar remarks from unruly spectators, coaches, and athletes at live sporting events. The tapes requested by the commission include live broadcasts of football games and NASCAR races. Dang old NASCAR races, where the participants or the crowds let loose with an expletive. Okay. While commission officials refused to talk about its requests, one broadcast company executive said the commission had asked for 30 tapes of live sports and news programs. Another executive said, quote, who spoke only on the condition of anonymity, he said, quote, it looks like they want to end live broadcast TV. We already know that they aren't afraid to go after news. apparently, while live programming has always been sort of problematic for broadcasters, it has become even more difficult under tougher FCC rules approved in 2004. The new rules found that virtually any use of certain expletives will be considered profane and indecent, even if it is a slip of the tongue. In a March decision, the FCC found that the CBS News programs, The Early Show, violated its indecency rules because of a profane slip-up but did not issue a fine because the incident occurred before the new rules were instituted. Of course, we all remember Janet Jackson's breast that slipped out, it just schlepped right out there for everyone to see during the Super Bowl halftime show in the 2004 Super Bowl. Since then, there has been a highly charged fight at the commission about just how far the commission can go in restricting broadcasts. Now, broadcasters last week were split over whether the commission should be allowed to get one of the premier indecency cases back from the federal court in New York in a series of motions filed Friday in federal court in New York. Fox and its affiliate group, CBS and NBC, opposed an attempt this week by the FCC to get a key indecency case back from the court. And there's some words that I can't say in this. F and S. The commission this month asked the same federal court for more time to consider affiliates' arguments that the agency aired in March when it considered variations of the words F and S likely are to be indecent whenever broadcast, even if the words are uttered accidentally. A delay would let affiliates contest the decisions before the commission. And anyway, under a new law approved by Congress and signed by the president, broadcasters face fines as much as $325,000 per violation, up from a previous maximum of $32,500. I know what let's do. Since we don't have taxes coming in, let's... if you see a titty, it's worth $325,000. Okay, that's crazy. All right, well, anyway, we just wanted to bring that to your attention. Now, the other thing that I wanted to also talk about, because the president came out yesterday and was talking about how taxes, tax revenues were up tremendously. And I was actually talking with a friend of mine earlier today about this. Several friends of mine over the past year has gotten letters from the IRS, with the IRS basically telling them, and I got one of these too. I don't have it right in front of me. I think I burned it in effigy. But I did get this letter, and it said basically, you know, Dear Mr. Birch, of course they call me Mr. whenever they want money, right? Isn't that the case? But Dear Mr. Birch, we feel that you still owe us $60 from the 2002 taxes that you filed. I'm going, wait a minute. Dude, that's like three tax seasons ago. What are you talking about? And I researched it, and I pulled up my records, and I looked at my addition, and I said, well, I don't think I'm wrong here. I really don't think I was wrong with this. I really don't think I was wrong with this. I checked it again, checked it twice, sent it to Santa Claus to see whether I was naughty or nice. And what I realized was that, I found no mistake. But, you know, I got to thinking about it, and I said, well, you know, $60. Now, if I dispute this, and I go down there and I raise all kinds of hell, and they put me on a list of people for possible auditing. Oops, it looks like I'm on the list now, eh? What'll happen? You know, I mean, is this going to make my life a living hell? Well, I decided to go ahead and just pay the money. And, you know, the president came out yesterday, and he's standing there on the TV, and he's talking about this new revenue of taxes that we've had as a result of tax cuts. We've had more revenues and taxes as a result of tax cuts. Now, the very idea in my mind sounds kind of nonsensical. But then I got to thinking about that letter that I received. And I thought to myself, self, I wonder if there's anyone else out there that got a letter like that. Dear Mr. Jones, you owe the government $50 from 5 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, or whatever. Please pay now, and we'll waive the penalty fee, or something like that. And it makes me wonder. Now, I don't know that anybody else got that letter, and if nobody else did get the letter, then I guess I did owe the money. I don't know. But, I looked at it and thought, you know, maybe it's just worth my while to just go ahead, pay the money off, get them out of my hair, don't have to worry about it anymore. But then I saw that, you know, that Georgie standing up there and trumpeting this $27 billion in tax revenue and thought, I wonder if anybody else got a letter like mine. I'll tell you what, if you did get a letter like that regarding your taxes, give me a call. I'd like to hear what the hell the letter said. If you didn't, then maybe I'm just talking to a brick wall. But it made me think, you know, because you never know. I mean, I'm sure that, I absolutely believe that the IRS has redoubled efforts because it's got to pay for the war somewhere. It's got to pay for the bonds and the loans and the, what do you call that, the president has, sold us out to China. It's got to pay for the interest payment somehow, and maybe quite possibly it's from the sticking the IRS guys on everybody and saying, hey, let's just send out a letter to everybody saying they owe $60. maybe that'll call in some of the debt. I don't know. Anyway, I just figured I'd bring that to your attention. Maybe I. Maybe it just happened to me. Maybe it was only me. Very quick note for those of you who are visiting San Francisco and who have a prescription for medical marijuana. Fisherman's Wharf will now be, they're planning on, the city planners are considering whether to issue a permit for a medical marijuana dispensary in the heart of the city's tourist hub, despite outrage from neighbors and businesses, you know, because of all those mangy potheads that'll be milling about. The Wharf is San Francisco's Disneyland, said Rodney Fong. I had to say it again one more time. Rodney Fong, president of the Fisherman's Wharf Merchants Association. About half the people who come here are with kids, and things they are looking for are family attractions, sea lions, dining, and bong hits. I mean, so a marijuana dispensary doesn't really match the market we have. The Green Cross is the first cannabis club to seek a permit under strict guidelines the city adopted in November to curb street crime around its roughly 30 dispensaries and prevent sales to non-patients. This left-leaning city quickly became a hub for cannabis clubs after voters in 1996 made California the first state to legalize medicinal marijuana, but the Fisherman's Wharf fight outlines the difficulties in the 11 states that allow medical marijuana as they seek to regulate the drug without banishing patients to dark alleys and rough neighborhoods. Owner Kevin Reed of the Green Cross says, quote, "Nobody wants this in their backyard. They're fighting for their beliefs and their family values." Oh, I hate that word, family values. "But if they continue fighting on the path they're fighting now, they'll put us all out of business." That's what they're trying to do, Mr. Reed. Duh. Maybe Mr. Reed took a bong hit before he did the press interview. That's quite possible. So if you're in San Francisco and you're into medicinal marijuana, well, that's the place to go. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America. If you want to get in on the show today, you have about a half an hour left to do that. You can dial 1-877-443-2366, or you can send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. After this break, I'll be right back. On the radio, did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, "I've heard it all"?
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Hallelujah! Bush has decided to abide by the Supreme Court, or so he says. And we should applaud him for that? That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. If he didn't, he'd be creating a constitutional crisis. Not that he's beyond that. The way he treats Congress with his signing statements and the way he treats the FISA court shows his disdain for the other two branches of government, which, if he had his druthers, he'd saw right off. There was something ominous in Bush's statement that he'd obey the court's ruling. He betrayed more than a hint of reluctance, more than a smidgen of resistance to the idea. After all, he's got the guns. All the court's got is words. Bush essentially said, okay, I'll go along this time. Suggesting there may be a time when he won't go along. Then, of course, there's the question of whether Bush means what he says or whether he'll drag his feet all across the Geneva Conventions. Forgive me my skepticism, but I doubt Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Negroponte are going to all of a sudden go easy on the detainees in the CIA's secret prisons all around the world. And how is the Red Cross even going to inspect those facilities, which it's entitled to do under the Geneva Conventions, if Bush won't even say where those prisons are? Before we all cheer the return of the rule of law, let's make sure it arrives at the station. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
You're back on the Bruce Burst radio program. It's 25 minutes before the hour, and we've been talking about a lot of different little stuff today on the radio program, not the least of which is the fact that the government is embarking upon a concerted effort to squash media from reporting tough truths that we need to look at. You know, and it really blows me away. You know, it just really blows me away. Now, here's another one, and I don't even have the audio for this, and I don't know that I need to. I think if I heard it, it would just make me probably want to puke. And here's a guy who's on directly opposite me, I think, and that is this guy, Michael Savage, Michael the Wiener Savage, or the Savage Wiener, or whatever. He says, this is from his July the 6th broadcast, he says, quote, how do I relate the rise of radical Islam with its restrictions, with its throwback mentality, and with its hatred and its murderous nature with the progressive movement in the West? It's quite simple. You have to think about biology to understand it. You have to think of the AIDS virus, which is symptomatic, actually symbolic, rather, of what I'm talking about. He says, The AIDS virus is actually quite symbolic. It's a retrovirus and it invades the body, but it doesn't really cause infection for a while. It lays in wait. And while it lays in wait, the retrovirus, the HIV virus, it starts to attack the immune system itself. And only after the immune system itself is weakened can infections arise within the human being that has been infected with the HIV virus. And then he says, that's what liberalism is. Liberalism is, in essence, the HIV virus, and it weakens the defense cells of a nation. What are defense cells of a nation, he says, he asks. Well, the church. They've attacked particularly the Catholic Church for 30 straight years. Oh, Savage Wiener guy? Mr. Wiener, or Savage Wiener guy, Michael Wiener? Wiener Savage guy? It wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that there was a bunch of freaking pedophiles in the Catholic Church, would it? Now, I'm not speaking bad about the church. I'm speaking bad about the guys in the church who like children. Okay? He goes on to say, the police attacked for the last 50 straight years by the ACLU viruses, and the military attacked for the last 50 years by the Barbara Boxer viruses on our planet. And you know what? Okay. You know, he's just a sick bastard. That's all there is to it. I want to posit one thing. Anyone who would liken liberalism to the HIV virus has some definite mental health issues going on. Mr. Wiener, I would like to suggest very strongly that perhaps you go see a multiple personality disorder specialist right away, and maybe they can get you on some medication that might help you with that problem you've got, you know, the one with your brain, the one that makes you think that you know you're a radio host. Because obviously what you are is just a Nazi on parade. And he's even in San Francisco. No wonder. He's a Nazi in San Francisco. No wonder he's so pissed off. All right. You know, he even went so far as to talk about, I mean, he just talks about all kinds of crap. You can go to MediaMatters.org. Go to MediaMatters.org and you know, and go check it out. Go listen. If you want to, you know, raise your blood pressure about 10 points, 20 maybe, 30, I don't know, 40. Go listen to Michael the Savage Wiener over there at the Media Matters. I mean, because it's just, he embodies all that is right and righteous about the right wing. He embodies all of the good and principled let me just stop now before I get too far ahead of myself. Maybe he and Ann Coltergeist have been hanging out, eh? You think? All right. Anyway, moving right along away from the Savage Wiener boy. This whole mismanaging of data by the government has really, it's hit epidemic levels. And we were talking about the mismanagement earlier today of natural disasters by FEMA. Well, apparently a recent article in the Congressional Quarterly discussed the numerous cases of holes in personal information security at government agencies, a problem that has received increased attention after the recent case of a loss of Department of VA laptop containing the personal data of 26.5 million veterans. In addition to the VA, other agencies with recent security breaches, and we're not talking about the kind you button up, breaches include the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Department of Defense, the National Nuclear Security Administration of the Energy Department, and the Indian Health Service of the Department of Health and Human Services. Only the Departments of Labor, Interior, Housing and Urban Development, and Transportation said they experienced no breaches this year. And other agencies like Homeland Security and Justice refused to comment on any security problems they may have encountered. Despite these failures, no comprehensive response is evident. The GAO, the Government Accountability Office, warned on June 20th that, quote, weaknesses in almost all areas of information security controls are present throughout the federal bureaucracy, end quote. That's kind of scary. Note that the Departments of Labor, Interior, Housing and Urban Development and Transportation, that doesn't include the IRS, does it? No, it doesn't. Scary. People are going to be walking, you know, oh my goodness. Anyway, yeah, so don't trust your information with the government, please. Now, here's an interesting story from Quebec, from our neighbor north of the border. I don't know if that's how they say it, but it sounded good. Managers at a local Walmart in Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, Quebec, forced employees to search the store after it received a bomb threat. Way to look after your employees there, Walmart. Some 40 nervous employees searched the store for an hour last Thursday. They were accompanied by 6 police officers. Several employees whose jobs don't include security found the experience to be very traumatic. The incident prompted Quebec Workplace Health and Safety Board to investigate. Walmart said simply it wanted to help police conduct the search. According to police, the store didn't violate any laws and only had an obligation to evacuate the store if a suspicious object was found. That's right. So if you go to work at Walmart, not only will you make just above minimum wage, but you can put your life at risk while doing it. Yay! Yes, that was from the file of the bizarre story of the day. Crazy. You know, Walmart itself is just, it's a scourge on our society, and we all know that. What is it, walmartwatch.com, I think, is the address of the website you can go to and check out information regarding their push to create a Walmart-based economy for the United States, which they already are. You know, and a friend of mine and I were discussing the other day about how the bottom line is with this company that... You know, it's that the country has kind of turned into a Walmart-based economy. You know, there used to be a saying that says, "As GM goes, so goes the nation." I believe it was, or as General Electric goes, so goes the nation. One of the two. I knew it had a G, General something in there, Motors or Electric, or perhaps it was Electrolux. I don't know. Anyway, the idea was that the larger corporation, the largest corporation in the United States. You know, that the economic success or the economic state of that company pretty much reflected the state of the economy in the rest of the nation. Well, now that's sort of changed. We've gone from that to, you know, because all those jobs are, you know, gone, poof, disappeared. Now those jobs, and they've been replaced with Walmart. Oh, yes, the economy's doing great, George Bush. We no longer have $18 an hour jobs. Instead of one $18 an hour job, we have 4 $6 an hour jobs. That's right. It's a net increase of $6. So we have this Walmart-based economy. It's a throwaway society. We now have a situation where Walmart calls the shots. Oh, you know, guess who shows up for disaster relief? That's right. Wally World. Inherently troublesome about that, and I think you would agree with me. There's something inherently troubling with the idea that a private corporation with thousands of stores around the world would send its own employees into the store to look for bombs. The store manager sent them in there to look for bombs. And these folks were probably only making our equivalent of $9 an hour, if that. In Canadian dollars, that's probably maybe $12. You know, so this is the kind of, you know, that put your life on the line. Hey, you're at Walmart now, buddy. You're part of the Walmart Army. You're going to go looking for bombs. Ay, 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 ay. What are we doing to? Okay. Enough about Wally World. It's indicative of the economy that we've got and of the country that we're turning into, though. It just really is, and it's kind of sad. You're listening to the Bruce Burst radio program, radio for hopefully a better future, better tomorrow, if we can get our stuff together. It's about 46 minutes past the hour. We're going to go ahead and take our last break of the day and come back to wrap this puppy up and send it on its way. If you want to get in on the show, you got a couple minutes left to do so. The number is 1-877-443-2366. You can get me off the stage, and you can take center position. I'll be right back.
Hanging out of my bed. You mess with my life, so I bite my lip. You even mess with my children, and you're screaming at my wife. Get off of my bed if you want to get out.
This message is for Lou Dobbs from thousands of progressive Latinos from throughout the country. America has come a long way from racial hatred and discrimination. You, sir, are taking us back. Every night you use CNN to inject hate and fear about immigrants to America. You distort and blur the realities of immigrants and fan the flames of xenophobia. You are dividing America, pitting neighbor against neighbor and worker against worker. You are poisoning the well for real, honest, and open debate on our failed immigration system. The result? Now we have the Arizona Minutemen and the Border Storm, a paramilitary group that claims that they will seal the U.S.-Mexico border with 200 armed men. America deserves better. We implore you to stop attacking immigrants. We deserve an honest debate on how to fix our broken system. Nobody wants to fix the broken system more than immigrants do. To join BlueLatinos.org, please visit our website today and help end racial hatred and discrimination once and for all. Paid for by members of BlueLatinos.org.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice. The Holy Trinity. So now I got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Are rising fuel prices keeping you at home? Then here's some good news from the IRS. First, your purchase of a new hybrid or electric vehicle entitles you to a tax deduction that could amount to several thousand dollars. And you don't have to itemize to get this tax break. Second, if you're claiming the standard mileage rate for business travel in 2005, remember to figure in the 8 cent per mile increase for the last 4 months of the year. For more news on tax deductions, visit IRS.gov.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, radio for a freer America, the America that you and I would like to have, one where we are not being slammed against the wall by government propaganda at every time we turn around. You know, thank God we got people like our good friend Wayne in West Virginia, who happens to be on line one. Wayne, how you doing today, my friend?
Hey, Bruce, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Good to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm sorry to call so late. I just got home a little bit, and I wanted alert you and all of your listeners that, you know, if you go to BuzzFlash, today's BuzzFlash, there's an article about gutting labor rights for nurses. And I don't know if I talked to you about it the other evening, but the California Nurses Association is going to have demonstrations from California to Maine, over this issue. And what's involved is the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, is considering reclassifying registered nurses as supervisors. If they're classified as supervisors, they are no longer protected under the union fold.
And, right, right.
You know, there are a lot of nursing unions that cover only registered nurses. And, you know, if they're successful in doing this, you know, what it is if you direct somebody during your work day, you know, go get me a number 9 syringe or something, boom, then you're a supervisor, therefore you're no longer covered by the union contract. If they're successful in this can literally affect hundreds of thousands of union workers, construction workers, you know, meat plant workers.
Sure.
If you direct anybody. And it's another union-busting tactic, you know. And, well, like I said, I just wanted to alert all the listeners to go to BuzzFlash and you could read this article and find out what they're doing. And, you know, if you're in a locality where some of these registered nurses are going to demonstrate, you should join them and support them. And, you know, it's one thing to mess with construction workers. These are the people that save your life, you know.
Yep, when you absolutely.
When you go in the hospital, pal, you know, you see the doctor, 10 seconds every day? It's the nurses that take care of you. It's the nurses that heal you. And
you don't want to mess with those folks.
No, you don't. And they need our support. They need our support. How's the rally at the processing plant going? How's things going?
Well, they're still. I mean, they did an educational rally here in town last week, but they're still moving forward. I know that they've got a number of rallies scheduled across the state over the next few weeks. I think the next one will be in Fayetteville on July the 18th, which is probably the closest location to the plant, which is down that sort of the down east area of the state. So, it remains to be seen exactly how this will turn out, but, we are obviously very much in support of what they're doing, and
right. How much support are they getting from the already unionized plants?
They're getting a lot of support, based on what I've heard, really the person to ask that question, I may try to get them back on the show to just talk about their future plans, but...
That young lady the other evening.
Yeah, Libby Manley, I can pass along their phone number if you want it, Wayne.
Oh, I would love it.
Okay. Anybody else who's interested, call them and ask them. Tell them that you heard about it on Head On Radio Network. 919-833-6678.
And what was her name again?
Her name was Libby Manley. M-A-N-L-Y.
M-A-N-L-Y.
Yeah. And she's an organizer with the United Food and Commercial Workers for the Smithfield campaign.
I would encourage everybody to call her and voice their support. That would, well... Everybody needs an uplift every now and then, and I know them people are fighting a hell of a battle, and they need support. They need support.
I totally concur.
I mean, that's what working people have to think about. I mean, you think, how many people did you tell me worked at that one plant? 55 How many people?
Yes, 5,500.
That's what I thought you said, 5,500. I mean, that's a huge operation. And, you know, I would imagine their other plants are of similar size or comparable, you know. Imagine if all the if the people at the unionized plant walked off the job for one day.
Well, and that's just it, is that, you know, the bottom line is this particular plant has engaged in, outright violence to deal with this situation where, you know, they've been fined and there's been, federal court cases related to this situation. You know, it's just deplorable. I don't see how in the hell they get away with it myself. I really don't.
Well, listen, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, years ago here, we were trying to organize a sheet metal shop and did, in fact, eventually, we got from the NLRB what's called a decision, where they threw out the election. We lost the election, but they threw the NLRB, of course, that was under Clinton, throughout the whole election and said, you will deal with these people because they had so many violations. The guy would never come to the table. He was cited for contempt of court in federal court twice. And even with both those contempts of court citations, was awarded a government contract.
Yeah. And actually, they probably looked at him favorably for that, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. Well, especially these idiots would. You know, these idiots would. So, but
Wayne, I tell you what I did do, my friend, on my homepage at brucebirch.com, I put a link up to that BuzzFlash article you were just talking about, and I also stuck the telephone number for the North Carolina office of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union up on there. So you can, if you want that later, you can go and get it. Okay.
Very good, buddy.
I've got to cut to the end of the show here, my friend, but I really appreciate you giving us a call and hanging out for a minute.
Okay, pal. I'll be talking to you.
Okay. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.